podcast, along with all episodes of the Grateful Thread podcast, are solely host opinions and should not be taken as indisputable. It's for entertainment purposes only, so cool your jets before leaving that negative review. Threadheads, welcome to the Grateful Thread podcast, where we're creating a community for cool quilting newbies and experienced quilters to unite. Pull up a seat because you can always sit with us. We're your hosts.
I'm Lacey Messerly of Messy Quilts.
And
I'm dancing. I'm excited today.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, my turn?
Your turn.
I'm holding still, and I'm Ashlyn of Urban Doll Studio. We have an exciting episode today. It was a blast to record. We don't get to do in-person ones very often, but as many of you know, we live in Quilt Mecca, and part of Quilt Mecca is Sewtopia, and we're just so lucky to be able to shop there regularly, but more importantly, to get to know Amy and Megan. Her business partner does not live locally, so it's more rare that we see her, but we got to have both of them in our
studio,
unquote.
Basement. Creepy basement.
And it was so fun. Additionally, we have a surprise, and that is that this is a long episode. So we have divided it into two parts. And if you're listening to this on the Monday that it airs, which is March 19th, 18th, something like that. Sorry, dates.
It's all blends it's together when you... Hey, you want to record
Whatever
an episode?
Day you're
I don't know when it is.
It's the perfect day.
Yeah, just it'll be coming out next week.
Yep, you can listen to part two next week.
Yeah.
So we'll be doing back-to-back episode release, and then you'll be able to catch another one the following Monday.
That'd be kind of fun.
Back to normal
release
schedule.
Like a little bonus episode, but part two, because we chatted.
Yeah, we got down to the conversation in that episode. So
that was good.
We hope you guys enjoyed as much as we did. So our guests today are Amy and Megan of Sewtopia. They have been a part of the quilting industry for, well, like over a decade and a half. But Sewtopia is newer on the scene, especially as a fabric shop. And they represent a lot of modern sewing. And they're just kind of taking the quilting world by storm. If you haven't shopped on Sewtopia.com, I feel like you might be in the minority. However, their local shop is just an amazing place to go and visit, and I'm excited for you guys to get to know them a little bit better. They do a great job with their online presence, so you can listen to them here, and then you can head on over to Instagram and give Amy and Megan a follow, where they're a hoot.
Talking about,
can we have like
fake footsteps, like
the soundstage?
Yeah.
Nick, do that.
All right. Okay. Hey. Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. If you guys could just say your name really quick and introduce yourselves so people can connect the voice to the human.
Voice to the person. Yeah, my name's Amy Newbold. That's me. I don't know. Did I miss all the stuff?
You're a Capricorn?
No. Yeah. Oh, I'm a Capricorn. Are we introducing ourselves? Yeah.
That's the next question.
Okay. Born and raised in Salt Lake. Married. Two kids. One really neurotic dog. Oh, can we cuss on this?
Yeah.
Okay.
If it's really obscene, we'll just bleep it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So give it your best shot.
Okay. Well, I will not give it my best shot, but I will say.
Give it your mid.
A neurotic ass half Shih Tzu Bichon dog.
That you special ordered.
I did special order him, but...
It would be really funny to leave an ass, but like bleep out too.
Yes. That would be perfect.
Neurotic ass dog.
I know. Started quilting. My daughter will be 13 this year. Yeah, no, 14. She'll be 14 this year. So I started quilting 15 years ago.
Okay.
So yeah, that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My name's Megan Callahan, Gemini.
We're the best.
Both of us.
I was born and raised in Oregon, in a very tiny town with one stoplight near Newport, Oregon, and have lived all across the western seaboard now of Washington, Oregon, and California, where I currently reside. And what about me? I work from home remotely for Sotopia and freelance and...
Husband.
Oh, yeah, I have a husband.
Uh-huh.
Husband, twin daughters, and two cats. Mm-hmm. One is hates me, and the other one's annoying, but I love them. And what else? It's been kind of a crazy life for me the last couple of years.
When did you start quilting?
I started sewing in seventh grade with a very ill-fitting pair of shorts in home ec.
Oh.
But... I started quilting again in college and then came back to it, I think, when I was pregnant with my twins in 2000. When was that? Eight?
So, yeah.
Nine?
So,
eight.
Your twins are a year older than mm-hmm. Pepper.
Yeah. So, I kind of came back to it then, and then I got into the whole quilty scene with Instagram after, like, I had my kids. And I missed the Flickr.
Yes. Yeah.
Yep. The Flickr, like...
The Flickr blogging days.
Okay, I think I assumed that's how you guys met. How did you guys meet?
Well, technically...
Friends of friends, actually.
Yeah. So technically, our first... Sotopia's first event was in Salt Lake in 2014 in downtown Salt Lake. And so we had 75 attendees, and Megan was one of the attendees. Mm-hmm.
And I came with my friends who knew
She came with her, yes, she came with her motley crew of ladies. And, but I don't remember interacting with you at all.
You don't? You literally came, okay.
I don't.
This is like when couples are interviewed.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
You don't remember being in our hotel room, like, really late at night?
Yeah, but you were quiet.
I was asleep, actually, for part of it.
Yeah, but you were quiet.
But then
you were never, like front and center.
No.
You were never, can admit that you were never front and center.
I used to be that type of person, but not anymore.
You're just a nobody and you blended into the background.
Well, kind of funny though, because
easy to miss.
The friends that I came with, they're yes. kind of heavy hitters in the quilting world.
Yes.
And I mean, at times they would be like, oh my God, you're so-and-so and you're and you are?
Yes. Oh.
Yeah. I just carry the bag. That's no. You know, and it's fine. It's not a big deal. But
yeah.
No.
So it wasn't until. So then we went.
No, it was a very memorable meeting.
She
obviously remembered me, and I was a memorable attendee.
Yeah, it's really.
I
bad.
Won the challenge.
You did win the challenge. It was awesome. It was a great challenge.
It was.
It was a great
yeah,
challenge.
It was.
You know.
So
and Megan kind of jokes because we added her to the staff. She's like, you just don't want me to win the challenges anymore. Because mm-hmm. at the events, at the attendees, we partner up with a manufacturer and we send them 6 fat quarters. Just like we did with the Salt Lake Modern Quilt mm-hmm. Guild, right? We give them 6 fat quarters. They make something, they bring it. And Megan had won, like... She won Salt Lake, the first one, mm-hmm. and then she won the second one.
I won it was technically the third event.
Oh, the third event.
Yeah.
Yeah, she won the third event, which mm-hmm. was in Portland, because she didn't go to Atlanta.
No,
not Atlanta, Chicago.
Yeah.
So after Salt Lake, we went to Chicago, and then we went to Portland, and then we went to Atlanta.
And at the Portland event, I said, hey, if you need help with yeah. your business or with the events, I'd be more than happy to help.
And then...
Because I'm just trying to get a free plane ticket.
Wow.
Right?
She was
kidding, right?
It's funny because I was like, I didn't know her then. And it wasn't until our friend Jen was like, you should get Megan.
Mm-hmm.
You should hire Megan on. And I was like, no.
And what year was that?
That was in...
2015.
Yeah. And I was like, well, we can try her out in Atlanta, see mm-hmm. if she gets along with people. Because...
You remembered her by this point?
Well,
we're like, who's Megan?
Yes, you did. We were friends at this point.
So she...
You're minimizing our history.
I know. Well, what's funny is, like, she's in Atlanta. We're like, well... And I think it's different nowadays. I think more women are, like, not, like, so... backstabby, gossipy.
Well, we're getting older.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's,
you know
very
what I mean?
True.
Mm-hmm. But
we're calming down.
I had to try staff out at that point to see if they got along with each other. Because if they didn't get along with each other, then you'd be like, okay, hey, tryouts.
But who's still working for you?
Exactly.
Auditions are going well. Yes.
Yeah. I took them all out. No, I'm kidding.
So we tried her out in Atlanta.
That was back at that event. I can remember that was a teaching event. So Sotopia is set up as in the spring, it is a 2-instructor teaching event. In the fall, it is an open sewing event. Mm-hmm. And so that was a teaching event with Elizabeth Hartman and Denise Schmidt. Mm-hmm. And that was an interesting one to start with. And I remember thinking, like, when I got there, I like wore dresses and like cute dance goes. And like, you know, we were dressed.
She was trying
still.
Out.
No, yeah. we were also kind of, we were still wearing dresses at this point for the opening thing.
Wearing dresses?
I know.
I
have
proof.
Pictures.
Stop it. We need those pictures.
And, those will be in the show notes.
And so it's, and now it's just, I think of events, like Sotopia is really built up as kind of an introverted extrovert event where everyone's coming, they're kind of chill. And it's morphed over the days.
Yeah,
we're not in our 30s anymore.
I think we'll be on our 20th event in the fall.
This one.
This
Wisconsin?
One? Wisconsin is 20th?
Wow. And what are those?
No, wait. That's spring.
Because, hold on. I'll figure it out while
we're What do those events entail? Like, what does that look like?
So
we have 80 attendees at our events. We started in 2004. I actually started after, I left the Modern Quilt Guild because I was on their board of directors. And so I left to pursue Sotopia. And Sotopia was always a side gig because I had a full-time job, as a director of operations for like a small IT company. And so it was always the event side was always a side gig. And then until 2000, so we have 80 attendees. We bebop around the country. At first it was like hub cities, like Atlanta, except Portland wasn't a hub city.
What? Secondary city.
Denver. Portland's totally a hub city.
Not the best secondary
city. And then it kind of hopped from a hub city to a, hey, where does Amy want to take
vacation?
Take 80 people.
Well, it's Sotopia is a formula. It's like we can't just go to some wherever. It's has to be both an alluring city where people can do stuff, as well as the Sotopia event, as well as like a shop hop.
Yeah.
Though that's getting harder. I mean, that's a whole nother story about brick and mortars and closing cold stores. It's harder to do that, but it's a formula of it needs to be an alluring city as well as, you know.
Yeah, because it's like our extrovert, introverted selves. Like, we would go to the cities, have fun, but the introverted selves would, like, let's go back inside and sew. You know what I mean? Like, and we're all sewing, and it's just like, yeah, so.
Well, and how it's set up is, like, usually breakfast and lunch are provided, and then attendees go out on their own for dinner. So they have that social time, and they will, like, make reservations at places, and they'll be like, let's do a quick dinner tonight. Let's have a fancy dinner, you know, here. Let's do room service. It's so the attendees can really be flexible with their own day. When they have the instructors there, they will have one or two classes that day, but then they get to sew in the evening from 5 to midnight. So we're not about super structure. We're about kind of an open, chill, do what you want. Also why we're kind of like splurging and treating them a little. So if like our attendees are like, oh my gosh, I forgot this thread. Like, we're going to try to provide that thread for them. Oh yeah, here's this. We're going to make it a good time for them.
Yeah. I think this is our 18th event. So exactly what Megan said. The first one was like an event that I would want to attend because I think I have like crafting ADHD or something. I can't sit in a class. I just wanted a weekend away, away from family, away from stress, all that stuff. I want food to be partly provided. I want a hotel room that's nice, not, you know what I mean?
You want to go out and sew, find yummy places to eat,
and like,
too.
Yeah, like fun sewing and just good places to eat and then come back and sew, you know, and then so, and maybe a shop hop is included in that.
But we found we do need to travel because we did try to do, we were going to try with the format of having the teaching event in Salt Lake every year. So we did like 2 years in a row in Salt Lake and we found that that wasn't a good formula.
Interesting.
Because we still need that destination city. That's part of the draw for our attendees.
And And if our attendees are listening, they're always like, hey, we love Salt Lake. We would
they want to come back now, but they want to we come had back. A little break. That's yeah. why.
I know, it's like kind of taboo yeah. at this point because it's just like
it's not part
so
of
far in the past. And
yeah,
gotta bring it back.
They want to come back. They're like, yeah, I do Salt Lake again, but I don't want to do it every year. Like,
I think we're on our eight. I think Anaheim will be our 18th.
What about Milwaukee?
17th. Yeah. Milwaukee would be our 17th.
Anaheim's in November. Is that one sold out already?
We haven't opened registration yet.
Does that open after Milwaukee or before?
We'll open that before Milwaukee.
Usually we actually open it up around.
We don't
like, right
yeah,
before ColtCon.
Right, but yeah, around ColtCon.
Like in a week or two?
No, spoiler, yeah. We're recording yeah. this early.
This is early
if you're
recording.
Listening, go check.
Yeah, if you're listening, we're probably sold out.
Yeah. Good. I guess so, that's the next question. Typically yeah. you sell out within, people are watching yeah. like a hawk, right?
Well, yeah. So here's the really formulaic formula. So making as an words. Attendee, I know making awards. As an attendee, where I think I do like how I gauge my job is like, hey, did we provide a good event? If we did, then you'll re-register, right? You get an early bird priority discount, but priority registration. So you don't have to be online with the rest of the, so they get to register first. So if past, like, we just did Nashville. So the Nashville folks will get like a week head start from registering for Anaheim. And I typically aim for like 60. If 60% of the people coming back, then I'm doing my job right. Mm-hmm. If that number starts decreasing, then something's wrong, right?
But like the last two events, we've had about 85% of people
wow.
come back. So
yeah.
We're doing, sometimes we're kind of like, okay, too many people
are
coming
numbers.
Back. We can't let new people come in. But
well, and then
know.
The new people, like, yeah, and they get frustrated because they were like, hey, I was online at this time. Mm-hmm. You know, what, I can't get in.
Like,
you know, I know we just,
awesome.
Like, put on a wait list.
Yeah.
Get on the wait list.
And
we tap the wait list.
We do tap the wait list. And the thing is, and Amy's talked about, well, maybe we should add more people in. And I was like, no. Yeah. Like, I'm really, like, no, we can't add more people because it's just part of the vibe. It's like, I've been to events that have been much larger. I've been to events that have been really strict, like, very strict schedule-wise mm-hmm. and how stressful it is. Like, one event I went to, They even had a talk during our meals, which is like, it was really interesting to listen to the speakers, but all I can hear is silverware scraping on plates and I'm trying not to giggle.
Overstimulated.
Yeah. It was just like, yeah, I was like, I couldn't even handle it. And so, and they just kept us busy every second of the day. And then it was really stressful. Like some people were literally like, oh my gosh, I need to take something because my anxiety is so bad.
Yeah. So we thought about adding, we did for one year at a third event and it was summer,
that was our
but
experience.
It was like, I didn't know kids went back to school.
We talked about it.
I know, but I was like...
I mean, we talked about it. I was kind of like, well, it's kind of a hard time. It's like August, September. And for me, now that we live in California, we start school really early.
Mm-hmm.
And
summer, in general, we are doing family activities, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, we were like, oh, let's do a summer event. Nope.
It was like we had about 50% attendance. It was a great event. Like,
it was a great event.
And that was Milwaukee, which is why we wanted to go back, because we did have fun there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very small event because it just isn't a good time. We can't really break from our formula. We're kind of locked in now with an April event and an October, November mm-hmm. event.
Yeah, it's just November.
November. Mm-hmm. I always think October because that's when we're prepping.
I know.
We talk about scaling a lot, like the two of us, and it's just mm-hmm. like hard as business owners to always know, like, how much is too much? Mm-hmm. How much mm-hmm. more can I handle? What quote should unquote I be adding? Mm-hmm. And like, mm-hmm. I think you guys have a good grasp on that, and you've tried adding a third one, and like, that's what the growth looks like for you guys. But mm-hmm. then you relinquish the control over the event if you're having to hire out the jobs that you guys do, and like, mm-hmm.
yeah, it's just it. we can tell pretty, I think one thing is we don't dwell on stuff that doesn't work. We're like, okay, that didn't work. Let's try something else. Let's move
right.
on.
Right. Right. Yeah.
We're going to change our formula. We're going to roll with the punches and that's, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not too pretentious to have
no,
to not stay too
proud.
A certain way.
Yeah, no,
like,
I think we're like,
no.
Yeah.
I like hearing, well, you told the story about how, like, you've grown the events over the years mm-hmm. at the retreat. Will you talk about that a little bit and just, like, the contrast from the first event and what you mm-hmm. offered versus, like, what they are now?
Well, the first event is pretty... We still have the same kind of footprint on mm-hmm. the first event, but in our first events were, like, a major thing was, like, we had a great sewing machine sponsor. Bernina was our sponsor for our sewing machines, so we could offer, like, 75% of the attendees a sewing machine without cost. It was just included in their registration fee. So then if they're traveling, then they don't have to burden with bringing a sewing machine, right? But in 2000, I think it was 2018. No, it wasn't 2000.
It was, well, we had to do our own machines for the
So basically,
New
yeah, so new one of our fall events, it was after, it has to be 2018. Anyways.
After Austin? Was Austin our last
one? It was Denver.
Denver.
Denver was the last one that they were, they said, hey, you know, it's not, hold on. Denver, 2017.
Yeah.
So 2000. So we had 5 events. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 5 events underneath our belt. And then in Denver was our last.
Event,
yeah, was our last one. So like Bernina was like, "Hey, we're gonna pull our sponsorship."
Hey, this is not helping us.
I mean, and they had a point too. It is a lot of work for them. They usually bring new machines, and mm-hmm. the thing is we weren't. People could buy the machines, but we weren't like pushing that on them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if someone was like,
because
hey, I love this.
Away.
Right.
You know, I want to buy this. We're like, okay, cool. But we weren't pushing.
No, yeah. So once that happened, I had to make a decision on whether or not to either just shut down Sewtopia, the events, and then, or invest in sewing machines.
And she got conflicting advice from friends.
I did. I got
As
conflicting.
Business owners do.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, because
one
it would
person's
be...
like, yeah, you had a good run.
Be done.
Too bad,
yeah.
You know, that you lost your machine sponsor. And I was like, and me, I'm like,
well,
what?
Yeah.
No, let's, no.
So,
let's
figure
it out.
Out of debt.
Figure it
Shove
out.
Yourself out.
Right.
Take out a loan.
So, yeah, I had to...
I know where I lie on that one.
It's always funny because people are like, well, how many sewing machines do you have? And I was like, well, let me tell you, I have 63 because I have 3 myself.
You have over 60, though. You're probably more in the 70s.
I'm more in the 70s
yeah.
now. So we, at that point, I was like, okay, what do I do? What do I do? And then I was like, okay, maybe I will take out a loan. I will get sewing machines. We bought 60 sewing machines. I had a good relationship with Juki. And so I asked Juki, hey, I would like to buy 60 sewing machines for my event. Can I get a deal? And they were like, absolutely. And so we got 60 sewing machines. So if you're talking about the events evolving, so we had, I think I was lucky. Like there was a horseshoe tied to my ass.
You're the luckiest
like,
person ever anyway.
Like we had no traction on our first event. We had no history. We went out to Chicago, talked mm-hmm. to Bernina. They sponsored our sewing machines. We had sponsors that were just believed in what I was doing. And then 2017, Bernina pulls their sponsor. I was like, okay, what do? We now have 60 sewing machines. And then I think in Milwaukee, we decided. And then in 2018, I had lost my job. Mm-hmm. Because I had stepped down from directors of operations and I stepped into a sales role and my new manager didn't like me. So he was like, I'm going to find a reason to let her go. And he did. And then I was like, well, what do I
did
do?
Did you a favor, really?
Well, I know. And then I was like, well, what do I do? And my husband at that time, he was like, just do Sewtopia full time. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, then we need, instead of having income twice a year from the events, mm-hmm. then we need to have income 12 times a year. Mm-hmm. Right. So then I was like, okay.
That was a big, no, Amy talks about it, it's kind of nonchalantly, but that was a really big shifting in her mindset because she was trying to get Sewtopia off the ground as a small fabric business online. But at the same time, she was like, but I feel like I need to have a job. I feel like I need to be working for somebody. I need to be bringing insurance in. I need to be doing this. And I was like, I was kind of talking her down. Like, no, you don't need to go get a part-time job. Just try to focus on this. It's like,
it's hard it's because, fine. I know, but it's hard because you go from like an income that you know you're getting a check. No matter what, you're getting a check. You put in 8 to 10 hours a day, maybe, yeah, depending on how hard you work. Maybe less than 8.
Yeah.
But then it was like, I would know that every 2 weeks I would get a check. And then when you go into your own business, it's like, paying
do
myself?
Do I get paid in three months?
I know. I was like, paying myself? What is that?
And I was raised by two people who had their own business. So okay, it's kind of like having that small business at home type situation. That's super familiar for me. So
yeah. So in 2018, we opened online. Okay. And then I was like, okay, well, we're going to events. And mind you, at our events, we go on a shop hop. We patron the shops.
And we have a pop-up shop. We at the event.
And
as well.
We reach out to somebody local who could be the pop-up shop, meaning they're vending at our event the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. So I'm very much of like spread the love type
of person.
Which is
super generous because mm-hmm. you guys are a fabric shop.
And it was funny because I'll give credit to this if Violet's listening.
Violet Craft.
Yes, Violet Craft was like, why aren't you being your own pop-up shop? And I was like, because they already spent money with me. They already bought their ticket. I feel weird about being pop-up shop.
So,
and then she was like, no, that's not weird. It's completely normal. You know.
It was breaking the previous formula that we had set up. Yes. And there was a little bit of kind of like some of the fabric stores, because it wasn't until the Milwaukee event, that's when we did our first pop-up shop.
Yes.
And it was pretty scaled down because it was a small event and... Mm-hmm. We were shipping everything there.
Yep. So when you talk about how our event has evolved, I have a picture of me packing up our first event, and it is one pallet. Just 5 feet tall, 48, so 4 feet by 5 feet tall. And that was it, right? That was just swag and office supplies. And now we are talking about... I have joked this week that I probably have invested so much money in U-Haul rentals that I could have my own fleet.
Yeah, I said that. I said, well, maybe you should open up a franchise. Like
have people dropping off U-Hauls.
That would really class up the joint.
Because now we have 3 events now, like for the year. We have our spring event, QuiltCon, and our fall event.
Yeah.
So we're trucking things because after the pandemic...
We can't ship anymore is what we've discovered.
We can't ship because we would be shipping... And there's on our Instagram, there is one that I think we're getting ready for Alexandria. I had 5 pallets in the parking lot of Sewtopia wrapped and ready to go. And we're getting on a plane on Tuesday for the event that starts on Thursday. Okay. I get a phone call from FedEx on Tuesday as I'm like walking on the plane. It's like, hey, your pallets aren't going to make it in time. They're probably going to be there on Friday. Now, imagine a sewing event that has no sewing machines until Friday, Friday afternoon, whatever time FedEx decides to come, right? So I was like sitting there like, wait, what? So we learned that it landed in the FedEx complex. So we had to rent a U-Haul on Wednesday.
In a different state to
in
be.
Manassas.
Yeah. Virginia.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had to rent a U-Haul, drive there, pick up our stuff, and stay up late and set up so that
we were
event
up into the
starts
wee hours of the morning.
Thursday.
It started the next day. We had to be ready with swag bags and registration.
We had to be ready to go. And so at that point, because I was toying with the idea, I was like, we should ship more, Megan. But the control freak in me now is like, no, I never want to do that. Mm-hmm. We ended up renting a U-Haul anyway. Mm-hmm. We ended up trucking.
And the product that we're shipping is mm-hmm. off the sales floor for at least 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because you have to ship there.
Oh, right, yeah.
You're at the event, right, and then you ship back. It's a...
So now, what's the cost on that? Is it really like by this time?
It depends
time, cheaper?
On where you go. Like okay. U-Haul rentals. Like so, what we'll do for QuiltCon is we'll rent a one-way. So we're going from Utah to North Carolina.
Right.
And they'll judge like how much that is. Like, and depending on how many, like what is, you can rent a 15 footer.
We're not a 15 foot operation.
We're not a 15 footer.
She wants to be, but I'm like,
we're not a 15 footer truck anymore. We're a 20 footer truck now, right? We're a 20 foot truck.
We don't like driving the 26.
The 26 is so big.
They're a little big.
And people are like, and I just want to stress to people who are like, well, I can't drive a truck. You can. You just have to drive really freaking slow.
It's like a giant van.
Yeah, it is like...
It's not a big... Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Well,
it's just,
I think people
I guess when it's snowing and you're kind of sliding in Wyoming, that's a little scary.
That's a little sketch.
Well, let me tell you, yeah. Like, when Bernina was still our sponsor, there was... when we were doing our event in Austin, sewing machines didn't arrive. And we were on the shop hop on Thursday... And the rep has, like, I have called them. They tried to deliver, but they couldn't deliver. And I was like, okay, what number are you calling? So
and
I called.
I will say the Bernina reps who were there and they had, like, assistants there to help people with their machines. I mean, bless their hearts. But they would just be like, yeah, they're not here. I guess they're not coming.
Yeah, like, but our show starts. For us. That show doesn't, you know, that never works for us. That's like... And it's funny because my friend was like, well, have you thought of them never arriving? And I was like, that has never been a possibility.
You're very much so like, if there's a will, there's a way kind of person.
Well, I'm also like, don't think of the worst case scenarios.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's also really weird. I think people always think, well, this can go wrong.
Fatalist.
Yeah. Right. And so
I guess I don't really dwell on that either. It's
roll
with the punches.
I'm on the shop hop with the attendees in a like 56 bus, like 56 person bus. And then I was like,
I think we had two buses that event.
Yeah. Because it was small. Bus. Yes. Yeah. So then I was like, okay, I'm going to call FedEx. I think it was UPS actually. I'm going to call UPS. I call UPS and I was like, hey, my event starts today.
Now.
Is
it
there
is now.
Any way I can come and pick up the pallets of sewing machines? And she said, you are the first person from your party that has talked to me like a human being.
Mm.
I will make it happen for you. So I was like, okay, great.
And not from us personally, just from people. Just,
yes. Yeah. And so I was like, great. And at the time I had sprained my ankle.
Oh, so, you were in a boot.
Yes, I was in a boot. So I leave my children, aka attendees, on the shop hop, go to U-Haul, mm-hmm. rent a U-Haul truck, driving with a boot, my right foot, because I couldn't trust another person to drive it too because the liability would be on them. Mm-hmm.
She trusts me to drive now, barely. I have to wrestle the wheel for her.
The other women were like, we can't drive a truck.
Well, if we're not proactive on our own behalf, it's not going to happen. So it's just like.
So then we get the sewing machines, and Bernina was like, we can have the attendees open their own sewing machines.
That was the first. That was the first too.
And they opened 60 sewing. We popped the sewing machines.
Wow.
We were running. We had to push opening back an hour, but mm-hmm. we had sewing machines there, and we have so many stories. Of
just like making it happen.
So now that question though, like Lacey is asking, hey, what if we went from one pallet
mm-hmm.
to now we are in a 26
20
foot U-Haul truck, and we are taking
mm-hmm.
we travel 3 times a year where we close the shop. I feel like we close the local shop down for 2.5 weeks, almost 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
for QuiltCon.
No, and for events.
3 weeks?
Almost 3 weeks because we have to go there, mm-hmm. come back.
It's like, it's about two, but.
It's not two, it's three. It's about closer to three, depending on where it lands.
Mm.
But anyways, that's the question.
Fight.
No.
We don't really fight. We just agree, but it's more bantery than anything mm-hmm. else.
Yeah, I think I saw you, like you had just gotten home, like that afternoon or the day before mm-hmm. after your fall event
mm-hmm.
like the shop was, you said it was a mess, and I was like, I can't believe all of this stuff is put away already, but like mm-hmm. that's how it needs to work in order for you guys to
function. Like, mm-hmm. you have your inventory and it needs to be like...
Well, and we started out online, so we're more... I feel like our customer base... I feel like our customers... We have more customers online than brick and mortar, right? So then walk-ins. But now I've seen the numbers from last year and our brick and mortar has been growing. Mm-hmm. Like... So it's getting busier.
But it's I think if you're going to be a successful shop these days, you have to be married to both. You have to be a brick and mortar and you have to be online because brick and mortar isn't going to cover it.
Yeah. Or it just depends on where you're at, you know?
Yeah.
I think it just really depends on where you're at.
Yeah. I think, like, as a modern shop, it's important too, to like not have your online presence be like an afterthought. Mm-hmm. I think you guys kind of have done that almost in reverse.
Yeah.
Will you talk about how you started your shop? Mm-hmm. Like, when did the fabric sales begin?
Well, and that's kind of
2018.
And that's January. Kind of like, I would say, in the early 2010s and teens, that's when kind of like a lot of online quilt shops popped up. Like, you'd see people on Etsy or selling bundles, and you know, that was kind of like when that became a thing, it seems like. I don't know. I think of different people who started their little online shops and just kind of...
Yeah. So 2018, I think I went to Fall Market in 2017 or something. I can't remember. I went to Fall Market. No, I lost my job in 2018, like October. Mm-hmm. And I think I went to Fall Market and I ordered fabric. And I think...
Like, screw it. Take my money.
Well, and it's funny because at that time... And any new shops that are, like, they come up to me and ask me questions, I'm fully, like, transparent, and I give them my advice if they're seeking it. But I'm always, like, I was, at that time, I was, like, buy it all.
But I didn't buy it all.
And so then...
You kind of got a starter package of Kona.
Yeah.
I had
rented a 500-square-foot office... because I didn't want it to land in my house. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I can make rent, mm-hmm. my motivation is like, if I can make rent, then I can do this. You know what I mean? Like there has to be some risk. So if I don't have rent, then I can't, like, I won't hustle as hard, right? So then I had that space, and I think within a year, I grew out of that space. And then we found, and I was sharing a space with a lumber company, which was odd as well.
Because he was fabric.
I had a room full of sewing machines.
A room, like, it closed. There was a door, but
yes. And then, like, yeah, we had fabric coming in.
And you were still storing event stuff at your space as well.
Yeah. And then we moved to, I want to say a South Jordan location. It was like 90th and Redwood. And that I had my own space, but still wasn't open to the public. Still very much like online. Mm-hmm. And then
what Amy's like, I think I want to open up a storefront.
Here's the funny thing. I always tell Megan, I go, I think we're going retail. Mm-hmm. Think we're going retail. And Megan's like, you're going to be busier than you think you are. And I was like, whatever. And then the pandemic happens. And I said, you know what? The pandemic happened in February 2020. And I was like, in March, I swear, March, April, I was like, it is the perfect time to look for a brick and mortar shop. It is the perfect time. And then
this is the cavalier Amy Newbold attitude.
Because, okay, as people are listening and they have their own brick and mortars and have walk-ins, I was not thinking that I needed the walk-in clientele. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, this is the perfect time to find a space.
Well, and I was kind of like, don't just take whatever's available. Like, look around a little bit. I'm like, Amy has a knack, and her husband will tell you this too, about that she has an ability to manifest things. Oh, I need this. Oh, well, here it is on Facebook Marketplace. Or, you know, yeah, I was talking to this person. They were charging $200 for it, so I got it for $45. I mean, like, just... It's an ability, it's a knack, it's a luckiness that normal people don't have.
She referred to earlier.
Yes.
Normal people don't have it. And I was teasing her the other day because, like, she's like, man, I've kind of had, like, a rough, like, few days. And I was like, your luck washed off. Uh-huh. You know, I was like, now you're going to have to do all these things to get your luck back. But no, I was just joking around with her. But, Yeah. So it's kind of like in 2020.
In 2020, and I remember this, like March or April, I was like, my lease was going to be up in August anyway. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I need to find a retail space. So then I was looking at, if anybody's local and they know what I'm talking about, there's a Sam's Club by the Fashion Place Mall. Right across the street from that Sam's Club is a strip mall. And I was like, oh my God, would be so cool to be there. So I called the realtor there and I was like, hey, I would like to see if there's a space available. And then he's like, yeah, there's a space available, but it's going to be like $3,000 a month. And I was like, I'm paying like under $1,000 right now. And I don't really want to pay more than that.
So can you manifest me a location that fits within that price range?
And then he says, you know what? I have the perfect location for you.
Manifested.
And then I was like, great. And he gives me the address, and that's the Highland Drive address. And it was like not even, we didn't even have, I had to slap on paint mm-hmm. to that space. And so then it's funny because we just, like, I gave notice, and I like, just moved. And usually when stores move, they're like, hey, we're moving. I was like, nope, I'm just going to move in there and not even announce that I'm moving, you know. And then I did record videos. And so when we open, like.
Well, and the thing is, she also negotiated with her deal of like, well, how long can I stay closed before I have to open to the public?
Because it's COVID. Yeah. It's COVID. Right. I don't want to be open.
And so it was like, and they're like, well, we'd like you to be open, you know.
You need to be open to the public, one. And I was like, damn it.
And she's like, how about in 3 months? And they're like, okay, I guess.
No, six.
Was it six?
It's six. You...
And they wanted it to be.
How about six?
So it's like she moved, but the soft actual open was like in December of 2020. Oh.
And then, yeah, it was in December of 2020.
Wow. She couldn't get away with that now. Like,
no.
Being in that spot for 6 months. I mean, it was kind of an ideal time to move. And
well, again, I think of the shop as a glorified warehouse to process online orders, you know?
But cuter than a warehouse.
Yeah, so how would you describe the style?
I was going to say, like, it's just like, I don't know. It's like an end unit of this building. Uh-huh. It's like just the perfect spot.
It's a long, skinny, tall ceiling.
Yeah, for folks that are listening, it's got really high ceilings. I think 26-foot ceilings. Mm-hmm. It's a like 900, close to 1,000 square foot space. So it's very tiny in a retail.
It's cozy. Ash describes it as a clean record store mixed with an episode of Cheers.
I mean, clean-ish.
No. I was going to ask you what the Cheers reference was about.
Ashlyn's 10-second store review. Sotopia.
It's like you go there and everybody knows your name.
It really is. Uh-huh. And it's
you're
so
like sitting at the counter. Yeah. You get cut.
For being a warehouse. Like,
there's no beer, but
no. Yeah. Eating donuts.
It's just as good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's one of the things that like quilt stores need to hone in on is just learning customer service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we're very introverted, right? So I
kind of we're not pretentious,
but you're welcoming though.
But
you're not judging what people are buying.
No,
you're are you making?
But like stores, you go into a cool store and you're like they won't even say anything to you,
right? Or they'll judge you what you're buying.
Yeah.
Well, they're sizing you up to see if you're,
an actual quilter.
And,
sewist. I was like, yeah. I go, the first customers I had, I would follow them around the store. And I would be so helpful. And then I forgot. We're hermits. We're like introverts. Yeah. And I was like, okay, I think I just need to greet them.
Yeah. Let them peter around a little bit, and then you can approach them to see if they need help.
No, I greet them and be like, hey, let us know if you need any help, and we'll help you.
But sometimes you have to approach them and help them because they're introverted, too, and they don't want to ask.
They don't want to ask.
Exactly. Yeah, and so, yeah, I thought that was a very, like, cute description of our...
Like, more into the Cheers description is, like...
Yeah,
because it's small, if you're having a conversation with me and we're like 10 feet apart, we're like the same distance from the other customer.
Yeah.
And so it becomes this like conversation between whoever's in the store, like at all times. It's just like this revolving conversation that you're welcomed into.
Or like, what are you working on?
Yeah, that's how I met Erica. And then I saw her, we saw her at QuiltCon last year, and I was like, I know that person. I don't know how I know her. I haven't been quilting for very long. Where would I know her from? And then I realized, like, it was from your store. I saw her at Sotopia, and we had, like, had a whole discussion. I was like, I don't even know her name, but I know a lot about her.
So, yeah. And then I think after December, we started letting more people in. It was used to be 3 people in the store, everybody mask up. We had a sign on the door that said mask up. And all of our employees vaccinated. That's what we believe in.
I mean, that transitions into like what we believe in. This is another thing that we're unapologetic about is we're not going to toe the line that we feel like, oh, I feel like a lot of quilters out there who are pattern designers or fabric designers, they have to kind of toe this line of like, you just need to produce a pretty product, but we don't want to hear your opinion. It's like, hey, we're going to produce pretty bundles and bag kits and all this other stuff, but you're going to hear our opinion.
And I was like, you're going to hear our opinion. I would say, like, you need to know where we stand, our values, right? Like, and that's, we do, like, a yearly, like, here's our values, remind you, like, who you're supporting. And it's tough because you're like,
well, look at back at 2020, and it's like we've gone, as a nation, we've gone through a lot in the last few years. And so, I mean, there's just been a lot. I mean, obviously, a pandemic, we've had a whole bunch of movements, and it's just like, I don't know, it's definitely an opportunity to just...
Yeah, like, you go into our store, there's the pride flag that's, like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, displayed, you know? Mm-hmm. We have a little Lego pride thing that, like, you kind of get the gist of our store.
Yeah. There's sweary stuff around there.
Yes.
You know, it's funny, too, because you're located in Utah, where it might be a little... Or,
you know, yeah, Depeche Mode or something.
Or no, what was playing the other day? Was it...
It's like Tupac.
No, and it was something where it was ringing up a customer. I'm going to say a bad word. It was ringing up a customer, and then I hear ass and titties, like, from the music, and I'm, like, giggling because you hear, because okay, it's $30 or something, so right. Ass and titties.
You walk in our store, and it is not, like, you hear good, well, I would say, you hear good music.
It's not mostly typical, good music.
It's not
funny.
A typical cult story.
Some of the songs that come on.
Objectively good music.
Yeah.
Good
I mean,
humor.
Sometimes the employees
vibes.
Are like, you played that song, now I'm going to hear that song all day long. Like, it's funny.
So, yeah, that's the evolution of Sotopia. How has it changed from when I started in 2014 to now?
She's gotten beefy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Beefy.
All right, we're going to be stopping right there.
Time out.
We want you guys to stay engaged in this conversation. So we will be doing a part 2. So come back and listen next week. Not in 2 weeks. You will find...
Be like a little bonus episode.
You'll get this bonus track in 1 week from today, Monday. And then the following week as well, we'll be back to normal schedule. So 3 Mondays in a row, you get to listen to us talk and blabber, and you're welcome.
The Grateful Thread podcast is created, hosted, and produced by Ashlyn Downs and Lacey Messerly. Our sound engineer is Nicholas Downs. Don't forget that if you're digging our podcast, we could really use your support in writing a positive review and rating on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget that we will be back in 1 week with a part 2 for this episode. That's all.
Bye, Threadheads.